Paul is making a rhetorical argument. He said, if the resurrection of Jesus is not true, then we are playing church.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant concludes his message on three guarantees provided by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Last week, we heard how Christ's resurrection guarantees God's righteousness to every sinner who repents and casts himself or herself upon God's mercy in his Son. This evening, Pastor Grant picks up that theme to list two more things that are guaranteed to every believer because of Christ's resurrection. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of the resurrection, the greatest game changer in history.
I wonder if there's somebody here who's willing to admit they're a sinner. Don't raise your hand. You know, even as a little child, I knew I was a sinner. How about you? I knew I was a sinner from early on. But at 9 years old, I finally repented. I finally decided to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he came into my life. He cleansed me from all the sin that I had done. Amen. And he keeps on cleansing every single day. Have you repented yet? Have you repented yet? Have you come to Jesus yet? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and life? Listen, because of the resurrection, the greatest sinner, the vilest sinner who repents, will be declared righteous by God. But second, not only will God declare you righteous, one of the other guarantees, the second guarantee of the resurrection I want to bring to your attention, is that it guarantees, write this down, it guarantees resurrection and eternal life in heaven to every believer. There's a lot of confusion about what happens after death. I've heard people at funerals saying all sorts of stuff. One of the common things I've heard people say, you know, my mom is now my guardian angel in heaven, and she's looking out for me. You ever heard anything like that? I'm sorry, but I'm going to burst your bubble. All these people, everybody likes to talk about mommy's looking down. Did you know mommy ain't looking down? My mom and grandma, my grandmother are both in heaven, but none of them are looking down. If your mom or your grandmommy was not a Christian when she died, she has big problems of her own right now. Trust me, she has such big problems. The last thing on her mind is you. But guess what? If your mommy or your daddy was a Christian, they're having such a grand time with Jesus. The last thing on their mind I'm just keeping it real. The last thing on their mind is you and the drama you are going through. And trust me, they're not praying for you right now. All their praying was done while they were down here on earth. And listen, young person, if you don't know Jesus, some of you had grandmoms and grandpas who knew Jesus and loved Jesus, but you're living like the devil. You aren't living for Jesus. And it's time, listen, don't wait for grandma to be praying for you. You need to start praying for yourself right now. God has brought you here this morning so that his love might be extended to you and that you may follow what grandma or grandpa did when they were here on earth. But you know, the people in Corinth, here's the point, where am I going with this? The people in Corinth also had a mixed up idea of what happens after death. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. You see, they grew up being taught that there is no such thing as resurrection. And so here they were Christians, members of the church, but they still were holding on to the stuff that they learned growing up. So they didn't believe there was such a thing as resurrection. So here's what Paul had to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you in the church, he's talking, say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen either. If there is no resurrection, Christ didn't rise either. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins, then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But hallelujah, thank God for verse 20, amen. What does your Bible say in verse 20? Mine says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Resurrection does happen, amen. Christ is risen. The resurrection of Jesus was a game changer, because up until the point of the resurrection of Jesus, even though they were resurrected, all these people had been told there is no such thing. But because Jesus rose from the dead, every human being will show you that in a moment. Everybody is going to be raised, but every born again believer who dies will go to live with Jesus in heaven. You know, the famous evangelist Billy Graham once said, one of these days you're going to hear that Billy Graham is dead. He says, but when you hear it, don't believe it. For I'll be more alive than I've ever been. In other words, when he dies physically, he'll be more alive than he has ever been, because he will have graduated to life in heaven, eternal life in heaven with God. And what better could that be? He says, listen, I'll be more alive than I've ever been. He knew that the best was still ahead for the child of God. Are you glad you're a Christian? I am so glad I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But do you know that the majority of Americans believe that Jesus rose from the dead? But get this. Do you know that only 1/3 of Americans believe people will rise from the dead? They have made a disconnect. They have disconnected the resurrection of Jesus from our resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, but humans won't. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is trying to make it plain. Every human being is going to be resurrected again. John's Gospel chapter 5 verse 29, you can read it when you get home. It says there's a day coming when all the graves will hear God's voice. It tells us those who receive Christ during their lifetime, basically, they'll be resurrected to enjoy eternal life in heaven. But those who did not receive Christ will be resurrected to be condemned in hell for all eternity. Everybody, listen, the resurrection of Jesus was a game changer. Because Jesus rose from the dead, every single person will rise from the dead. The devil has fooled our young people to believing that if you go crazy on the street, you shoot somebody, he's dead, that's the end. And if he shoots you, that's the end. Young person, I want to wake you up this morning. Oh, I hope somebody hears this message who misses
what is going on, that God has given you an eternal soul and an eternal spirit, and that you will live forever. Listen, when you die, when you die, if you don't know Christ, you're going to be resurrected because of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees every one of us will be resurrected, some to heaven and some to eternal damnation. And young person, it's not the end. You need to come to Jesus. You need to make sure that Jesus lives in your heart. You need to make sure that you're resurrected to the resurrection of eternal life in heaven. Because the other resurrection is bad news. Amen? It's bad, bad news. It's bad, bad news. Thank God. Oh, I tell you, it's so exciting when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. First, the resurrection of Jesus guarantees God's righteousness to every sinner. Second, the resurrection of Jesus guarantees resurrection and eternal life in heaven to every believer. But third and finally, the resurrection guarantees power to live a purpose-filled life to every believer. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's pick up at verse 28. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And here's the part that I really want to focus on. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? Paul says, why are we standing in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what he says. I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? He says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Very interesting passage of Scripture. You see, listen, we don't have to wait to heaven, to get to heaven, to benefit from the resurrection. The resurrection, listen, are you listening? The resurrection opens the door to a purpose-filled life right now. A life that you can live to the full. The resurrection opens that door. Because God has big plans for each of us right now. Paul, listen, in verse 32, after mentioning some of the challenges he faced in his service for Christ, Paul said this strange thing. If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What's that all about? Paul was making a rhetorical statement designed to motivate some of us who are Christians, because sadly, although we are Christians, although we have experienced God's resurrection life, sadly, many of us are not doing anything meaningful with this resurrected life we enjoy in Jesus. And so here's the point Paul was making. Paul is making a rhetorical argument. He said, if the resurrection of Jesus is not true, then we are playing church. And he said, if it is not true, instead of playing church, shut down the church and let's have a big party every day. Let's eat and drink, because tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, there is no need to live a sanctified life. Just shut the church down. As some would say, shut it down. But that's not the end of the story. And so here is the point he's making. Because the resurrection is true, we should be so committed to Christ, we should be willing to pursue God's purpose for our lives, regardless of any hardship we may suffer. And that is the message for today for those of us who are Christians. Oh, we are excited about the resurrection. But what God is saying, listen, if there is no resurrection, let's eat and drink because we're going to die tomorrow. But since there is a resurrection, listen, God has a purpose for us. And no hardship, Paul said. He told you all the hardships he went through. And he's trying to say to you and to me, no hardship should be so great that should get in my way. The early apostles knew exactly what Paul was talking about. You remember what had happened? You might remember that, by the way, sometimes we have the wrong idea of these apostles. Were these apostles older guys, middle-aged guys, or young folks? Did you realize the apostles were young men? We have the wrong picture. You always see these pictures of these gray-haired men. But did you realize that all the apostles were in their 20s and 30s? Jesus himself was early 30s. They were all late 20s and early 30s. And so this part of my message, I'm not only talking to those who are mature like me. God is directing it to those of you who the bread of God is still red, pouring through your veins strongly. You're only 20s, you're only 30s, and you're figuring, oh, I'll get serious about God sometime in the future. No! These apostles were young men. They were in the prime of their life. They were in their late 20s, early 30s. Of course, when Jesus was grabbed a hold of that night in the garden, when they seized Jesus and they realized that Jesus was on his way to be crucified, you remember what happened? All of them ran away. They started hiding. But hallelujah. Oh, one group of disciples, there they were on the road to Emmaus. And you remember they were so dejected and downhearted. They said, we had thought he was the one, but it turned out he's not the one. Oh, my goodness. But then they checked the tomb. Was there anybody in the tomb? Did somebody help him out? No. Jesus had risen from the dead without any help. My hallelujah. Jesus had, listen, he says, I lay my life down and I will take it again. Hallelujah. We serve a Savior who all power is given unto him. And hallelujah, we serve a risen Savior and he's alive forevermore. So the same guys who had run away, he finally met up with them and they realized that if Jesus had raised from the dead by himself, come on, young fellow, if you met a guy in the hood that raised himself from the dead, is that somebody worth following? They had 8 verse 18, Jesus told them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you to the end of the age. And these same disciples, these same scaredy cat, all of a sudden these boys, these ladies suddenly were energized and recognized they had met the crucified, resurrected Savior, the one with all power. They realized, listen, I will go to the ends of the earth for this man. I will follow him, though none go with me. Still, I will follow. Some young people are waiting for others to follow. And God is saying, no, don't wait for nobody else to follow. God is calling you and he's calling me to follow. The resurrection is a game changer. Because Jesus is alive, we need to make sure our entire lives are sold out to Him and for Him. Can you imagine? This bunch of young people, some of them didn't even have no good education. You know the story. They made a commitment to Christ. Do you remember what happened? Within 2 or 3 years, the entire Roman Empire started saying, these people have turned the world upside down. Of course, they thought it was upside down, but the world is upside down. They were turning the world right side up. They had become game changers. They had discovered their purpose, that God had a purpose for them. And they were going to pursue God's purpose. And today, yes, teenager and young adult and older person, God is challenging some of you who know the resurrected Jesus, and your life is just like you're not making any impact for God. And today, this Resurrection Sunday, God calls. And God is calling you, my friend, to purpose. God is saying, hey, if there is no resurrection, shut the church down. But if the resurrection is real, let's consecrate to Jesus. If the resurrection is real, this Jesus wants to empower you to live a life of victory, a life of power, a life of purpose, a life that will make a difference in our generation, a life that we don't have to be quailing, but a life that we can carry the message. Today, the world needs a new generation of world changers. Young people, and others of all ages who are willing to carry out the mission of the resurrected Christ, regardless of the cost. Oh, there was a high price. You know that, right? This band, they carried the message. And if it were not for them, all of us who are saved today would not be saved. These people took the message seriously. And other than the Apostle John, every single apostle was crucified. Did you know that? Every single apostle, other than John, was crucified. And so the question before us today, is he worth it? Is he worth it? Is he worth your giving your life to him? Is he worth saying, God, I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. And so in response to your great command, here I am. Take me and use me. Regardless of the cost, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. And Father, I pray that in the power of your Spirit, you may work in our hearts as you've never done before. And that we may say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. God, yes, we surrender all. We want you to use us. God, please work in our hearts. Make it possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin.
I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.